I really believe, Brother Frank, that God's got something, a great day in store for us here this morning. Amen. This precious young boy being brought to give him back to the Lord. That being said, I want to say this before we get on into the scriptures. A friend of mine that I work with, and I don't know the child's name, the gentleman's name is a sales rep down in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and it slipped my mind this morning. He has an 11-month-old baby boy that has fell out of the crib, and they're having to make some decisions on the remainder of his life. Brother Charlie is a great man. Great man. You know, sometimes bad things do happen to good people. We're in this world, we're not of this world. So if you think about it, pray for Brother Charlie and his family. I believe we're serving a God, Brother Frank, that's able, being his will, to reach down and restore. How many believes that this morning? Praise God. If you would stand with us, Ephesians, it's a great honor to have you here in this service with us. Everybody that's here and our visitors, and we appreciate you coming. Amen. We're really proud to have old Brother Ben with us this morning. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, these kids have got a lot of joyful days ahead. A lot of, praise God, you parents know what we're talking about. And you wouldn't take nothing for the joy of these young ones. I'll just say this. If this rubs you the wrong way, we'll pray for you. If you don't love your kids, something wrong with you. Boy, that's a deep one, isn't it? I tell you what I do. You say, oh, it's preacher's talk's cheap. I would say there's probably not hardly anybody here. I'd give my life for that boy sitting right there. Just like that. They walk up to me and say, his life or yours? I say, no, think about it. Take me. Now that's love. But not as great a love as our Father's got for us. Second chapter of Ephesians. Praise God. We'll just go ahead and start reading in verse 1. He said, and he hath quickened, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and in the mind and of the mind, and were by the nature of children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, I want to stress on here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this service, for your presence that we feel in this place. Lord, I realize that you're here, and I know and I expect that you're going to do great things in the remainder of this service. So take my lips of clay. Let me say what you want said today in this service. As you anoint every word, I pray from my mouth. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray, God, that you move and continue to tug at their heartstring until they realize that you love them, Lord, today. Lord, if there's maybe one here walking astray, I pray that your mercy endureth forever, Lord, and touch their lives as your spirit begin to prick the hearts of men and women in this service today. And Lord, I want to praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God is good. We had a service, someone mentioned earlier about our service this last weekend. We had a service around here Sunday night that was, I thought, just pretty good. Anybody agree with that? Really is better than pretty good, Brother Barney. It just plumb. Well, it just kept getting gooder. Is that good English, Miss Sister Martha? Matter of fact, we had an English lesson here Sunday night for just a short time and span there. Do what? That's right. Learned what a verb was. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know a verb was so important. But it is. So as I read this scripture here today, I didn't have contact with Sister Martha, so I went to the next closest English instructor, and that was my son. And I said, William, I said, if you use the word made us to do something, I said, would that be a verb? And he said, yeah. I thought, yes. Praise God. Y'all sitting out there thinking, you lost it now, preacher. I've got a title this morning on this message. And I'm just going to name it off the first verse, the first part of verse 4. It says, but God. But God. Now, we live in a world today that is evil and destructive. America has some great decisions to make in the near future before this year's out that I believe will absolutely have the, how would you say it, great influence upon the rest of our lives. I'm not getting off on a political venue here. But it is amazing how when politics come around that the preachers get put on the spot. Amazes me. But as long as they let me use the word, I don't really care. That's okay. So yesterday, it was the day before, I was walking around or at one of the accounts, and a lady come in there. She said, hey, preacher, come here. I want to talk to you. Come here. Going to talk politics. I said, I don't need to do that. Well, she said, I want to ask you a question. So I had somebody ask me this and said, she said, I want to ask you a question. Would a homosexual couple be welcome? Could they go to your church? I said, sure. Absolutely. Send them. She looked kind of funny. Well, she said there have been some preachers told them they didn't want them to come. I said, now, would they have an active part as far as teaching or preaching in the services? No. I said, would they want to stay? I said, probably not. Because I would still have to preach the truth. And so, I got off on a little bit about end times and how things are coming, the Antichrist, and you mark this down. I feel like this is truth. The Antichrist, he will be a homosexual. Now, is there any kind of distance or any kind of degrees of sin? No. Are you hearing me? Hopefully, that when we stand behind this pulpit, the anointing of God is enough in our lives and through our services that if any of us are committing sin, the Holy Ghost will condemn us. And that's starting from the pulpit. Because you're not going to believe this, but I have committed sins. You know that's true. But God! Come on the scene. Just so happened, I had no choice but to be born a sinner. Everybody had no choice but to be born a sinner. But God, praise God, He was rich in mercy. Doesn't matter what kind of sin I might have committed. Doesn't matter if we've had a homosexual lifestyle, adulterous or fornicated life, or murderers, or whatever the case may be. That doesn't matter because but God. Praise God. God come on the scene as He's been here and He has always been here. But He began and we realize this, that He is rich in mercy for His great love, whithersoever that He loved us. Praise God. He didn't do this because He was mad at us. He didn't do this because He didn't like us. He sent His only begotten Son for one reason. That's because He loves us.
And she asked me, so could they come to your church? Absolutely. Would they want to hear the truth of the gospel and not turn from their wicked ways? No, they don't want to hear that. But church, hey, amen, I'm here to say that God will change things in our lives if we'll let Him. Now, I got to get on our English lesson today. I'm really thinking this is going to be a little easier and maybe a more exciting message than what we preached in the past. So I'm a little bit excited about preaching this morning. Is that okay? Everybody's smiling. Anybody asleep besides Ben? But you know you hadn't ought to be offended at that, Brother Sean. Even if you and I preached and somebody went to sleep. Paul was preaching one day and no boy went to sleep, fell out the window and died. That's truth. So we didn't build a church with windows. Praise God. Hey, man, we're looking today and you say, but I don't know, preacher, about what's going on. I'm here to tell you, there is a God in heaven that loves you and I. I told you what I'd do for my son, but I'm telling you what God done for us. Well, Frank, He doesn't look at the stench in my life. He doesn't look at that at all. He looks at my heart. Am I willing? He didn't realize, He didn't look at King David as he had the man killed to get his wife. He didn't look at that, praise God. He looked at a man that was after his own heart. And when David realized what was going on, he turned back to God. Let's go to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles. I like to have never found that. I'm sorry, Sister Geneva. I thought it jumped out of my Bible and it wasn't in there anymore. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Praise God. That is shouting ground. There's two verbs in there that Sister Martha brought out to us this last weekend, and it was shouting ground. I'm here to tell you, amen, the word shall is a verb, and you help me, Sister Martha. It's a verb of intent. Is that correct? Amen. It's a verb of intent. If His people, which how many knows that we've been brought into this, we've been grafted in, we're Gentiles, but it doesn't matter. We've got just as much inheritance as the children do. How many knows that? He said, but if my people which are called by my name shall turn, shall make a change, have an intent to turn, there's going to be something happen. He said, I will. And Sister Martha said that will was a verb of promise. How many likes a promise? I like it when somebody tells me they're going to do something, the next thing you know exactly what they do, and they maybe go just a little beyond what they even said they'd do. How many knows that? It's a good thing if we say something, let's do it. I just throw that in right there. Shall and will. Now, Sister Martha, I'll put you on the spot. What kind of verb is to make? Would it be a verb of what? To make it happen. Glory. Did you know there's that much? And I wish I'd listen when I was in English class. I don't think my English teachers knew that much. But Jesus said, or God said, He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, that means He's got mercy which endureth forever. That means He's not looking at my faults. That means He's looking at the blood, praise God. He's not looking at what I'm doing wrong, but praise God. He's looking at my heart, Brother Frank, and seeing what my intent will be. What shall I do? Amen. I'm asking you today, what shall you do? Praise God. But God, amen, who is in heaven today, looking down, praise God. Amen. Jesus intercedes for you and I right now. He said, I'll make you to sit in high places. Oh, praise God. How many wants to move up a little bit higher? How many's glad today that He said He will make us to sit in heavenly place? I tried to find out what a heavenly place was. All I could find, it was something elevated, something higher. Hey, man, you know what that means to me? That means to me that in a dark world we live in today, that when seducing spirits, praise God, is engulfing our children's lives and trying to seduce and pull down, that means to me today that, praise God, because of God, but God, praise God, who is rich in mercy, when you and I turn, praise God, make an intent, amen, to turn towards God. He said, I will. That's a promise. Hey, amen. and he said, I will heal your lands. Praise God, I'll put you back. And he said, then he will make us, Brother Barney. Amen. That will be something that we can absolutely happen in high places. Heavenly places, Brother Darrell. Even when you stand in the midst of decision, even when you stick yourself in a hospital room, and praise God, the shall that the devil has is the intent of evil. But praise God, but God, praise God, who's rich in mercy, he's able, praise God, church. He said, I'll go with you even to the end of this world. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Praise God. Why? Because he's a God of intent that will do exactly what he said. What's your intent this morning? My intentions are, amen, to serve him with my whole mind, my whole body, my whole spirit. Surrender all to him, Brother Frank. Praise God. I believe today it's time, amen, that we realize but God is the answer to our needs. Amen, sister. Amen. It's not this world. Amen. It's not the pleasures of this world. Praise God. It's God in our lives on a daily basis. Praise God. Find ourselves today in a position of needing God. You may find yourself not knowing which way to go, but we're serving a God that's able. My mind goes back to some of those that went through some physical ailments in their lives. Some took a little longer than others. Brother Wendell went through for years, and God began to restore and put him back. And we had just a few weeks ago Sydney Smith out here, just a young teenage girl, and found a lump in her stomach and had cancer in her stomach, lost her hair, went through the treatments, and others have done the same. And I shared this with you not long after the youth service we had, and I should have known this, and if I'd have known this before, I could have really told. We anointed all these prayer cloths, and as Paul did, as they did with Paul, and sent them out, and the sick were healed, and demons were sent out, and evil spirits left. And why? It was because of but God. It wasn't because of man. It wasn't because of Paul or some eloquent speaking. It was but God had done this. And we're living in today that Miss Sister, his sister Sydney was up here singing to her heart's content, letting it just flow as far as she could and as hard as she could. Amen. Over here in the corner shouting the victory. Why? It was because of but God. You want some victory in your life? It's time that you and I turn to God. Amen. It's not time to turn to this world. If there's ever time for us to be stirred up about God, it's today, church. But listen, what happens too many times as the enemy begins to come in like a flood, we don't turn to God. Our intent's not to turn to God. Maybe our intent is to have anger and strife in our life. But praise God. He said, if you will turn to me, praise God, I will give you that promise of tomorrow, that promise of victory. Praise God. He said to Abraham, he said, every step you make, amen, I give that to you. Church, it's time we begin to step out and say, but God, it's the reason I'm able to stand today. But God is why she's here today and able to stand, because of God. Don't you ever forget what God's done for you. I'm going to get on our toes a little bit. I want to tell you what our biggest problems are in this world today is a Christian. I'm talking about Christians today. I'm talking about people that know right from wrong. You know what the problem is? We get too self-absorbed. It's too much about me. You don't do me wrong. You do me right. Don't you talk about me. No, don't you do that. Let me tell you something. It ain't nothing about you. They could come in here and step through those doors and shoot me down dead, and it still ain't about me. It's about him. They could burn my house down, amen, murder my family, praise God, God forbid, but it's still not about me. Sure, we go through things in life, but I'm here to tell you this, we're serving a God in heaven that knows every time a tear drops down your eye, amen, and God in heaven that knows every time you've laid your head on your bed at night, amen, not knowing about tomorrow. God knows, but if God, and God is still God, and he will always be God, he's able to step out. See, problem today, a lot of people want peace, but they don't want the peacemaker. Oh, I want to be happy. I want joy. I want peace, but they don't want Jesus. I want to tell you something. There's no joy and there's no peace in Muslims. There's no joy. There's no peace. And anybody, anything except Jesus. But God. God is full of mercy and rich. He said, I will make you. It's almost like that scripture over there Paul says. I bet cause is another verb in there, isn't it? Oh, good. Well, I'm gaining ground on this English. I'm getting good, Arena. I've told people about Sister Marty, that we talked about this, and they said, you know, as far as being able to eloquently speak and say everything the right way, I notice that I have a gauge on the front row. When I say something that doesn't sound right, I see the frowns come down. And boy, I had to preach hard to things. I said something wrong there. But it reminds me of what Paul said. He said, thanks be unto God. But God, thanks be unto God who causes me to triumph through Christ Jesus. Brother Frank, I don't know. I'm going to jump out here and give a definition of cause for Sister Marty does. I believe cause, amen, through the blood of Christ, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, amen, is a verb that will put behind you an anointing that cannot be stopped. Oh, somebody, amen, that's the anointing of God, amen, that cannot stop. There's not enough devils in hell can take the victory from you. He said, thanks be unto God who causes me to triumph through Christ. It's not an accident. It's not by choice. Amen, it's because of God he does it. Causes you to triumph. Whew. Glory to God. I told you I was going to enjoy this message. How we doing over here? Good? Causes. Go back to your intent. I got saved, filled the Holy Ghost about 12 years old, backed up on God. If you don't believe you can backslide, we'll talk later. Probably. Whew. Boy, I'm saying more controversial things than I planned. Probably, if you don't think you can backslide, you're probably backslid now. Whew. I backslid, Brother Barney. If the trumpet had blown when I was about 16 years old, I would have split hell wide open. Got over here to church, Brother Alvin was preaching. Anointing was flowing. God was dealing with my heart, and God began to restore me back and pull me back. He also said in Jeremiah, I believe about chapter 30, he said, with an everlasting love, I have drawn you. He's drawing this morning as we speak right now. God is drawing. As he began to draw me, I began to move back towards God. How many knows that the word said if we're drawn nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us? Isn't it amazing how he put us first? I got to make the first step. He's already done it all. He don't have to do one more thing. He's paid a price, created us, made a way back to him because of sin, prepared a place for us we can't even imagine. But God is rich in mercy. As God began to move me back and bring me back to where I needed to be, and he began to restore me, there was just things begin to happen. You know what my intent was when I went to that altar over there in the church next door, the original church, and began to cry out. There was a song being sung, where could I go but to the Lord? Sister Diane York was singing that. Holy Ghost began to grip my heart. Brother Darrell, you might have been there. I remember, amen, that my intent was that I feel like if I shall move back to God, he will, praise God, restore me. And praise God, he'll also do one more thing. He'll make me to sit in heavenly places. Now where I was, I'm not there no more. I want to tell you something right now. When you turn back to God, when we get back where we ought to be, I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to church, I'm talking to preachers, me. When we get back to God like we ought to be, we're not going to be able to imagine what God can do. I know what he'll do. He'll cause us to triumph. Always. Is that what that says? Always causes. Boy, what's that, a double verb? It's an adverb. Well, when I said a verb, this genius up here thinking, you dummy, that's an adjective. An adverb. See, I'm even dumber than I thought. Always causing us to triumph. That means he doesn't waver. That means you sit here this morning and you say, there's no way. I've had people tell me they couldn't be saved. That's a lie from the devil himself. My Bible said in Romans that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that he is who he says he is, and he did die. But God, praise God, who is rich in mercy, praise God. He said, I will put you in a place and set you on a higher ground that you can't imagine. Praise God, but you've got to turn back, and who shall turn to him? He said, I will always cause you. I didn't know that adverb was in there. Always. That just makes it even better. And you and I sit back here thinking, well, I don't know if we can make it or not. What about the, here's another thing. We've talked about our spiritual lives and our walk with God. What about our nation? What about our country? What about it? Now, I'm not going to get political on you here. Here's what it's about. It doesn't matter how much we pray. If every born-again Christian in this world bound together, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, are you with me? For no gay rights, no abortion, all those things that we're against as a Christian, I will say this, you ought to be against it. All those things that are unbiblical, we could pray till we're blue in the face, fast 40 days and 40 nights till we fell over dead nearly. Revelations will be fulfilled one way or another. It's going to happen. Men are turning from God. All the time. Things that were sin are no sin no more. And I might as well hit this while I'm out here on the right wing side of things. I got news for them. That man they said was pregnant isn't a man. That's the beatenest thing I ever heard in my life. Oh, Lord. I just about got it. You think we don't live in a perverted world? You're just fooling yourself. But be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. And it's time you and I start sowing righteousness and we'll have a harvest. But if we do not, it shall be the intent of our heart that we will receive a harvest and it won't be what you want. If the preacher stand behind the pulpit, I was talking, this lady was talking to him about it, and she was really high on this one preacher. I said, I'm not his judge, but I said, it is a fact that will not deal with the issue of homosexuality. You said, preacher, you talk about that too much. It's an absolute abomination unto God, so just get over it. That's the truth. It changes everything in the creation that God done. Is adultery and fornication sin too? Will send your soul straight to hell. But I want to tell you something. I flipped through the radio, the TV the other morning, and this girl, listen to me. I'm talking about our kids today also. We got kids here. They got young men back there. But I believe this. I'll just say what I heard, what I seen. This lady was singing, this rock and roll singer. I guess it was. It was on a news broadcast, and she was singing, and said, this was her song. Said, I kissed a girl today, and I liked it. Even though it might have been wrong or something like that, I liked it. And those young kids were just jumping and carrying on and flopping around and carrying on. And this woman was singing it half-dressed. I kissed a girl last night and liked it. Now, I want to tell you something. That is perversion. And it's an evil, satanic spirit that's gripping our country, gripping our young people. Hey, but if you've got a young person, you better bow up and say, you ain't listening to that garbage. Are you hearing me? What is the intent? Praise God. I'll tell you what's happened. Hey, amen. We've backed up and our intent to serve God has backed up. And therefore, that God just figures our intent is to serve the devil. How many knows that? Hey, amen. If you're not serving him, you're serving the devil. How many knows that? Hey, amen. If my intent's not to serve God, amen, and raise my son and be a spiritual leader in my home like I ought to be, then my intent is the wrong direction. I shall, amen, change my intent. Evidently, I can't preach without getting on something like that. That's the world we live in. And he said he will always cause us to triumph. You know what that means to me? You know, we have kids and homeschooled. We have kids that are Christian schools. And we have a lot of Christian teachers that are in our public schools. And somebody was telling me the other day, they said, well, they're going to put their kid back in public school. I said, well, that's a decision that you pray about and do what God wants you to do. My thoughts is this, and that's another thing of choice. There are going to be some Christian kids in those schools.
What if all those lights are all gone? Who's going to see? Won't be no light out there. That being said, I firmly believe we got some wonderful young kids around here, teenagers in our church here. I firmly believe that we're serving a God that can help them be a light and not fall to sin. Not be wrapped up in those songs. Are you with me? You say, oh, I don't have no strength. There ain't no power in that preacher. That's just words. They're just having a good time. Don't you be deceived. That's a power of seduction. I'll stand on that till I can't think or I can't say a word, Brother Sean. We better shun it right now. You better get away from it. Why? Well, you know, stop and think about it. I'm getting way out here on another road again. The devil's behind it all. He's behind it all. I'm talking about with our young kids. You look at little Ben back there. He's probably one of the, I guess he's the youngest one we got around here, didn't he? Praise God. We've been so blessed around here, he probably won't be the youngest very long. When's Christine going to have hers? There you go. Well, Ben, you got just a few months. We're serving a God. As this young man begins to grow, and mom and dad begins to nurture him and teach him right from wrong, and as he gets out there in this world, and there begins to be temptations and things along that line happen, but God, who is rich. I stress this very much. Your parents, when you let your kids go out to school, I highly suggest plead the blood of Christ over their mind, soul, body, and spirit. Take time. If you got to get up earlier, take time and pray for your kids. My Lord, but God, who's rich, he said, I will make you to sit in heavenly places. That means that I can be somewhere that people don't know how you got there. I can tell you something. World don't know how you got happy. World don't know how you got peace. I'll go again real quick in closing. People want peace, but they don't want the Prince of Peace. Don't want Jesus. Don't want the preacher telling them what's wrong. You know what the truth is? The preacher's not telling you what's wrong. Just reading the Bible. If you don't have regulations and things that are wrong, then this whole world will be in chaos. If we can't find ourselves in a place and know that God is God, we got a problem. Let's look over in closing in Habakkuk. Chapter 3. Last 17, 18, and 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That sounds like problems to me. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And the Lord God is my strength, and he shall make my feet as hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer and my stringed instruments, let's stand. He will make me. If we could have a song this morning. I believe God is speaking to hearts in this place. Maybe you're here today and a high place or a heavenly place is a place you can't even imagine being able to get to. And there's only places, spiritually speaking, that God can get you there. And it's nothing like it was that time when I was over there, wrapped my arms around Brother Alvin, went to praying, and God just began to lift that load. Put me in heavenly places. To be able to lay my head down at night and know that if the trumpet should blow or something should happen, I would be having my next step. But God, who is rich, he is the only way. As we begin to pray, I want you to search your heart. Ask yourself what your intent is. He said, if my people called by my name shall turn. He said, I will. And then after he does, he will cause us to triumph. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this service. I pray, God, a special touch in the remainder. God, as you deal with hearts, maybe those that are not saved, maybe those that are walking astray, I pray today, God, that you move in the midst, because you are still God in this place. As they begin to play, take somebody by the hand. Say, go with me.